Holy moly, we are already well into January of 2019, and it's about time that I got to put together the reviews that we couldn't get to before the end of our 2018 period when we went into our hiatus, and when we started up this past week again on Twig. There are some review items that were in the mail, I guess, during the October-November postal strike that we didn't get to till now, simply because they came during our hiatus break. There's mail still coming. I think they're pretty much caught up this week now, finally. But there were weeks and weeks of backup mail that never got out to us or are just trickling in now. So I've got a bunch of different reviews. We sort of bundled a few together by whatever company gave them in. So on this show, we've got Mill Creek's releases of Laurel and Hardy Collection, which is to coincide with the movie that's being released in theaters, the biopic. As well as a package of Karate Kid 3 and, I guess, Karate Kid 4, The Next Karate Kid, on a Blu-ray set together. So that's from them. We've also got, from Kino Video, Once Upon a Crime, which is a John Candy movie on Blu-ray. As well as the National Lampoon's Class Reunion, which is a film I had never even heard of before. It comes after Animal House and before the Vacation movie started coming out. And then there's also the second season of The Outer Limits on Blu-ray, the original series remastered. We had talked about the original season one, I think a few months ago now. So now the complete show is out, and it's definitely worth it. You're going to have to listen to the review, though, because it's interesting what they included with it. We've also got a quickie review of the Sega Ages for the Nintendo Switch game Outrun, the arcade game, been remastered and put on Switch. There's a... we've gotten to manga now. We're starting to expand and do a little more than just TV, movies, and games. We wanted to get into comics, manga, as well as some music. And the music stuff's going to start trickling in more, manga as well. So we've got from Vertical, they're the publishers that do all of the fantastic Gundam adaptations here. They had sent us Summer Wars, which is a complete set based on the movie, as well as Episodes Volume 1, which is the new series by the creator of Blame and Knights of Cydonia. So we also have from Wellgo USA, which is a DVD publisher, Blu-ray publisher, Jonathan, which is a sci-fi indie flick. And rounding out the end, we've got a little different review. It's a review of a piece of software. During the break, we wanted to make sure that we could enter the new year and move maybe doing into a little more video production. We tried to do the YouTube channel for a while where I was going back and taking like original shows and then editing them, putting them on YouTube, and that's a lot of work to do just for previous stuff. So I might still do some of that for special episodes that were, you know, milestone episodes or you know, anniversary episodes, that sort of thing. I'll put them up. But moving forward, we want to start doing more streaming, more video reviews like Mr. Christopher does on his own channel. And to do that, we need to have something reliable as far as video editing software goes. You're not going to use Windows Movie Maker for sure. So there's a piece of software from Pegasus Incorporated, which is a Japanese company that makes software that I used back in high school. And they have a new version of their software out, and I hadn't had a chance to check it out in years. So we got a copy of that to review, and it'll probably be the main workhorse of video editing that we use, at least on my end, for this foreseeable future. That's the Video Mastering Works 6. So that's what we've got coming up. I'm going to have them all sort of flow together. We'll have interruptions in between, but this is sort of the roundup of all of the reviews moving into the new year. So now we've got a fresh slate. These are all things that have been out for either a while or just come out. So give them a listen. And I think at the end, I'll come back and sort of talk about what's up next.
And now it's time for another special feature. Heggle. Yes.
Our friends at Mill Creek have sent over a couple new releases to check out. One of them is the Laurel and Hardy Comedy Collection. Now, Laurel and Hardy is one of those comedy groups from the silent film era that I used to get confused as a kid, because again, I'm not old, but I used to get them confused with a lot of the other comedy groups that were out at the same time or a little later than that, like Abbott and Costello. I used to think they were the same people, and then I would see pictures and go, oh yeah, they are different. So I had never actually seen their stuff before. So what you get here is two discs. They're on DVD, and you also get a digital copy that you can redeem to watch from Mill Creek's actual digital website. And you get
Laurel and Hardy shorts, you end up with about six or seven, including some that are, I wouldn't even consider them to be shorts. They're an hour long, so that's basically a feature film from the silent film era. And then on the second disc, you end up getting shorts that were individually done by each of the people on their solo careers. So you end up with, I think it's about 24 different shorts, including some home videos from them. And there are varying degrees of quality. Some of these are like, they're public domain, obviously, for most of it. But they're in some rough condition. They are definitely watchable, and there's been new music recorded to play over top of them in stereo and mono, depending on which one you watch. There is one of the videos that is in color. I believe it's the tree in a test tube from 1943. And by color, I mean it's pretty rough. We're talking, I think, like two-tone Technicolor, maybe. But it's not about the visual quality with this. It's all about the actual comedy and gags. Now, these hold up fairly well in that it's mostly your standard silent film slapstick comedy. Some of these gags have been done later on by other people or up. I was always a Three Stooges fan because that was, you know, the talkies, and that was the over-the-top slapstick. This has a little more subtlety to it, even though it's still slapstick and very practical and pratfalls and that sort of stuff. But it does hold up. Now, this is being released, obviously, in time for the new Hollywood blockbuster biopic on the Two that is being released, I believe, right around now, maybe in a week or two. So hopefully it capitalizes on that. And it's something I've never seen on DVD before. You see tons of collections of, like, The Little Rascals and other public domain collections from that time period, but you don't see anything of this. So this was definitely something I like, because these movies range from 1917 all the way up into 1951. So you get a pretty big variety, and you're going to get it fairly cheap. It's one of those things where you can pick it up if it's on sale for 10 or 15 bucks. So it's definitely worth picking that up. And the other release I received is a Blu-ray copy of The Karate Kid Part 3 and The Next Karate Kid. They're both on a single dual-layer disc here. And the visual quality is a lot better than the DVD and VHS copies I had seen originally. You get a surround sound track with Karate Kid Part 3 and a stereo track on The Next Karate Kid. Now, they are, you know, traditionally people view them as the weaker two films in that four-film series. But I've always liked all four, and I believe, I'm not 100% sure, but I believe this might be the first time The Next Karate Kid's been available on Blu-ray. Either way, it's a bargain pack with both of these. There aren't any other special features, so it's pretty straightforward. You just get the films remastered in high definition with the digital audio, and that's it. Now, they both look pretty good. I would say The Next Karate Kid Part 3 looks a little better because it has a little bit better cinematography, and there's a little more of that film look to it. Next Karate Kid looks like it might have had a little bit of digital noise reduction done to it, but it's still fun and watchable, and it's one of the first things that I remember seeing Hilary Swank in. And, you know, it's who would have thought that a Oscar winner had done a Karate Kid movie? So that being said, it's pretty, you know, it's a no-brainer. You pick it up. It's one of those things you find in Walmart or on Amazon for 10 or 15 bucks when it's on sale. And it's something you can just add to your shelf. And I'll be watching them over and over again whenever I do Karate Kid marathons. So those two titles, I say pick them up from Mill Creek. There isn't a digital copy included with the Karate Kid collection, but there is with the Laurel and Hardy ones.
Basically, he was a geek, sir.
Leave me alone, geek boy.
Holy shit, you geeks are badass.
I have three new releases from Kino Video to talk about on Blu-ray. Three very different titles. The first is a often forgotten John Candy film from later on in his career. The second is a National Lampoon movie. And the third one is the second season of the Outer Limits original series that I had spoken about, the original season one that was released from them earlier in the year. And here is season two has been out. So we've got the complete series now available on Blu-ray. So I'll firstly start with the John Candy film, Once Upon a Crime. It's a sort of comedy thing, comedy interwoven, multi-faceted film, a la, think sort of like Clue, only without the millions of endings. It's more of a mystery comedy with a big ensemble cast. Now, this came out towards the end of John Candy's career before he passed away, and it's often forgotten in the shuffle of a lot of his other films. It is one that, for years, was out of print. There was a DVD years upon years ago that regularly goes for several hundred dollars now on the secondary market, and it was really out of reach for the longest time. I remember the only way I was ever able to actually see that movie originally was through the Rogers direct, I guess, mail video rental. It was sort of like Netflix was when you used to borrow DVDs. That's how I was able to do it, was through Rogers that way. There was like two copies for the entire country. That's how hard to find this DVD it was at that time. Now, it's been remastered and put on Blu-ray, and it looks pristine. It looks so much better than the DVD did. And it's, you know, much more reasonable now that it's back in print at better quality than before. It's a fairly bare-bones affair, but it's had a cleaned-up audio, really good visuals, and at a price point that's in the $20 to $30 price range, depending on where you're buying from. So it's highly recommended, because anything with John Candy was gold, and it's one of those ones that most people haven't seen before. The second title is National Lampoon's Class Reunion. Now, this film, I had never even heard of. I didn't realize that there was anything between, I guess naively, the Animal House and the Vacation movies, but this came out in 1982. And watching it, it's sort of like a time capsule for comedy at the time. It looks pretty good. There's a little bit of film grain in there, but it's the natural film grain. It doesn't look like it's had any noise reduction done on it, and it's not a case of it just being a bad print. It's just exactly the amount of grain that would have been on the film, and it looks and feels just like like you're in the cinema watching it for the first time. Now, there's an audio commentary with the director and stunt coordinator, and an interview with the star, Garrett Graham, and some other trailers for other releases from Kino Lorber. So it's a fairly bare-bones affair, except it was interesting listening to the commentary. You got a little behind the scenes on this. So it's fairly straightforward. It's in stereo. There's not a surround soundtrack, but it does look pretty good on video. And it's one I recommend, especially if you're an 80s comedy fan. And it's, again, one that's sort of been, I guess, underappreciated in the series of National Lampoon films. Now, for the final release that I received is the second season of The Outer Limits, the original 60s Outer Limits, released on Blu-ray. And just like the first season, it is a perfect, pristine, cleaned-up picture, remastered. It could have been filmed yesterday in black and white. Now, there are less episodes in this season, but the special features are absolutely fantastic. There's 17 episodes. Now, some special features. There's the unknown, an alternate cut of The Forms of Things Unknown, which is interesting. So you get to see two different versions. And in the past, I don't believe that had been previously released before, because I had owned the MGM releases of this a long time ago, and I don't believe that was included. There's also an alternate cut of The Galaxy Being with an audio commentary with a film historian. Other audio commentaries, 12 TNT promos that were recorded back for cable back in the 90s. And you've got other interviews on here. There's creature features, basically showing off how the different character effects were done in the show. There's 5 TV spots and so much more. It's just a very good remastered set. A lot of times these shows get released and there's not a lot of thought or care done into it. It's just an up conversion. Well, these seasons 1 and 2 are not up conversions. These are full, just like Paramount did with the Star Trek stuff and with the Twilight Zone. They've gone back to the original film, scanned it, cleaned it up, released a brand new master, and it looks absolutely fantastic. And if I had to pick between Twilight Zone and Outer Limits, my personal favorite's always been the Outer Limits. Twilight Zone has a lot of classic episodes that everybody knows, but I like Supernatural, but I've always been more of a science fiction guy. So these are definitely worth picking up now that both seasons are out. And for the price that you pay, you're going to pay, depending if it's on sale or not, about $100, $120 or so on sale for both seasons. at least in Canada, and that's worth it because it's a complete series and it's been remastered with tons of care put into it. And being an anthology show, it's something you can just pop in and watch random episodes over and over and over again and never get bored of it. So I recommend all three of these releases, and I can't wait to see what Kino Lorber's putting out next.
Those magnificent bastards!
Color me kooky, but something very odd is going on around here.
You're not allowed to talk anymore.
Got a quick review of the new Sega Ages title of Outrun. Now, many of you remember Outrun as the arcade game from Sega that you sat in the car that actually physically moved when you were, you know, turn left, the thing would shift and turn left and vibrate and shake when you hit the corners or hit something and spun out. And that's how I remember playing it mostly. It's had other home ports left and right on pretty much every system Sega's had, and other things like the 3DS. Now, this is another title that M2 has released under the Sega Ages banner for the Nintendo Switch, and it's one of the stronger titles in the release. I didn't encounter any glitches or any issues with it like I had with the Sonic and a couple of the other ones beforehand. This seems pretty polished. It's the arcade version. You have the exact same things that the other Sega Ages things have with the banners and being able to change the pixel width and size. So I'm not going to go into that. You sort of know what that is by now. Basically, what did they add to this game? Well, they added an easy mode and different difficulty settings. Turning it to easy takes away basically all the obstacles in the game, except for the side panel. So if you turn too fast or you hit the side of the road, you'll still flip out and do things like that. But there isn't any cars or any obstructions to really worry about, so you can just drive and you can increase the amount of time you're given. So I was able to complete it on the easiest setting, doing the easiest path in about 6 minutes. That being said, there's a lot of customization you can do, changing the difficulty and timing up and down. I don't know anybody that I really want to see a playthrough of somebody being able to do the hardest path, which is basically turning all the way to the left on all the paths, with the time set to the lowest and the difficulty set to the highest. I don't know anybody that can do that. You'd have to be like a machine. So I would love to see somebody attempt that and actually try it. If I did, my controller would be flying across the room so fast, like I was a six-year-old kid again. Now, when you beat the game on whatever path difficulty you do, you'll actually unlock extra little cheat codes. So I unlocked a better steering option. So when I enable that after beating it, when I shift into high gear, I actually have the same turning ability that you have on low gear, which allows you to make sharper turns without spinning out. So the more you play, the more you unlock, the better you're actually going to get to do customization and cheat around and see and experiment with. So it's actually pretty fun, and it's definitely worth it for about the $9 price point.
Stop now, or I shall use more big words at you.
Sure! When my butt starts singing show tunes!
It's 2019, and we are looking to expand our review coverage into areas that we hadn't done before, one of those areas being manga and comics. We had done some comics in the past, but we wanted to really do a push into all things geeky, that being manga is an aspect that we had never really covered before. So I reached out and got in touch with Vertical. Vertical is probably best known as the company that puts out those really high quality manga hardcover editions of the Gundam Origin series. And I wanted to see what else they had in their catalog that would be interesting to, you know, you the listeners and frankly us, because I thought that it's sort of something that we haven't really been into or covered in the past, and I wanted to sort of venture into the realm of manga collecting. So I was sent two copies. You know, that took a little while to get here due to the crazy strike that we had with Canada Post, but they did arrive, and I've had a chance now for a few days to sort of absorb and take in the titles. And the two that we received were Epicems Volume 1 and Summer Wars the Complete Edition. Now, Epicems is a brand new title from the creator of Blame and Knights of Cydonia. I had read Knights of Cydonia when it first came out a little while ago. I read the first volume, and I had trouble following it because of the art style. I found that it was so complicated and there was too much going on, and it was just better to watch it actually as the Netflix series. But in the case of Episemes, I found it to be a lot cleaner, easier to read, better to follow, and a more intriguing story. So I'll just give you sort of the background of it. The story takes place on the frigid, massive artificial planet known as Episemes. Io, Biko, and Ethro, residents of the White Diamond Beam, are in the middle of combat training when suddenly a girl appears. The Rebedoan, I'm going to mess that up every time I read it. In my head, it's fine. Empire soldiers in hot pursuit. The girl asks for help in keeping safe a code of 7 mysterious bullets. The chance encounter marks a shift for the fate of the entire planet. And it's got a little bit of everything. It's got sort of a horror element with some scary sort of skeletal figures. There's just sort of an eerie futuristic space travel vibe to it. And it's something I highly recommend. It's something I had never heard of before. And I'm glad that I had a chance to read it. And the art style is just, quite frankly, very haunting. It's about just under about 175 pages or so. Very, very clean line artwork. The translation, I'm assuming, is very good because the dialogue is about on par with what you'd expect from a good American-style comic. So, Episemes Volume 1 is definitely something I'd want to check out if you're a big fan of science fiction or of the Blame and Knights of Cydonia series. Now, the other one that we've got here was Summer Wars Complete Edition. Now, Summer Wars, most of you would know it as a really popular anime movie from a few years ago. And I didn't know that it had a manga edition that came out. Now, this isn't a case of the manga coming first and the movie. This was a movie came out, and then somebody went and adapted the movie and maybe sort of expanded and gave you a little more in book form. And this thing is a whopping 580-ish pages or so, and they throw in some color pages in between for very important parts of the story. And I'm not going to get into the story because if you've seen the movie, you know the story, and if not, I recommend seeing the movie or picking this up. You're going to get more out of this if you've seen the movie first, but it's not going to stop you. Like, if you're just a big hardcore manga collector and you're not as big into watching the actual anime movies, this is something you might want to pick up. It retails for about 34 Canadian, 25 American, and for the amount of content you get in it, it's perfect. It's actually a really neat story. And it was a breeze. I ended up reading it, I think it's 500 and some odd pages. Maybe about 4 days I was able to breeze through it because it moves so quickly. The same goes for Episemes. I ended up reading that in about 1 day, just some light bedtime reading. And it retails for about $17.50 Canadian, $12.95 or so American. You're going to find it probably a little cheaper if you find it on Amazon, because everything seems to be cheaper on Amazon. So I would highly recommend both of these, and I can't wait to see what else comes out next from Vertical.
This is a fair request, and I promise I will not judge any person only as a teenager, and that this is no more right than saying all teenagers are drunken dope addicts or glue sniffers.
Welgo USA, a Blu-ray and DVD company, sent over their new release of Jonathan, which is a interesting sci-fi indie film for us to review. And I'll give you a little bit of backstory into the film, a little synopsis of it. It's a sci-fi tinged drama. Ansel Elgort, I always get that name wrong, plays two brothers living very separate lives inside the same body. Previously, they lived their life sort of in shifts, where one would control at a certain time, one would control at another time, and their delicate balance is ruined when they become emotionally involved with the same woman. Now, that's an interesting premise. All the best science fiction out there sort of posits a moral or social dilemma, and that's something that isn't explored that much, and it's perfect for a low-budget science fiction film. Now, as far as the Blu-ray is concerned, like, it's a good movie. I'll just say that up front. It's an interesting watch, especially if you're a sci-fi fan. This isn't going to be your big, splash explosion science fiction popcorn spectacular. If you're looking for a nice character study indie film, this is one to watch. Now, as far as The visuals are concerned, I did find it a little soft. It might be the video is so soft because out of a artistic standpoint or an artistic statement they want to make, but it's not. It doesn't appear to be an issue with the transfer. That's just sort of how it's supposed to look. It is crisp and clean. You can make out details on all their clothes. It's just a little softer and not quite as sharp as a lot of other science fiction films are, but I think it plays to its strengths. As far as audio is concerned, it's in English. It has DTS Master audio, so you know you've got nice lossless audio. I didn't notice it having a very bombastic soundtrack or anything, but the dialogue was very clear and easy to hear, and that's what's most important in a film like this. I didn't see a lot of special features involved in it. It's just a pretty straightforward release. Now, it isn't rated at all. It's unrated in the States because most videos can come out that way if you choose to. In Canada, it will have to have a rating. I don't see it on the back here because this is the American release. It'll probably end up with like a 14A here, maybe, due to the subject matter involved in it. That shouldn't really take away or give you an idea of what it's about. It's just more of a, this isn't like a hard R. This isn't, you know, a family feature, but pretty much anybody can watch it if you're into character-driven science fiction, you know, dilemma dramas. And I would highly recommend it. It's out this month, so, give it a watch. Pick it up on Amazon or Walmart if you see it. It's not, you know, something that came out and was, you know, blowing people away in theaters. It was sort of under the radar, and it's going to be one of those films that I think in the future is going to pick up legs, and it's going to keep going, and it's going to be one of those sort of like Moon. When Moon came out, nobody really heard of it, and then word of mouth spread saying how great it was. So that's Jonathan from Wellgo USA.
Do you have any hobbies?
I collect spores, molds, and fungus.
Hold that thought. It's crapper time.
Back in the early days of nonlinear video editors, back in high school in the early 2000s, I would use some free software that was out there from the Tsunami MPEG encoder from Pegasus Incorporated, Pegasus Soft, and a Japanese company that made a fairly user-intuitive MPEG 2 editor. Now, we're looking into the future of 2019 at Twig, and looking to do a lot more video content, whether that be streaming, video reviews, extra specials. We're on site at the conventions, and we were looking for a good video editor, and it popped into my head, hey, maybe I should check out what they've got from Pegasus now that I remember using it so much with the freeware software back, 12, 15 years ago. And I ended up contacting them to see if I could get a review copy of their newest version, sort of the successor to the MPEG encoder. And what they have is the TMB Chiang, so Tsunami MPEG encoder Video Mastering Work 6. It sounds like a lot. It's a big mouthful. But what it is a video editing software that lets you import individual files, whether let's say you're backing up your home media library or home movies or recording with digital cameras. It lets you import the individual files in two different modes. There's a timeline editor that allows you to make sort of the nonlinear editing similar to a Final Cut, maybe not quite as robust as that, or a Movie Maker or a Sony Vegas. Or there's a clip editor where you can import multiple clips and view it in individual clip mode. And what that lets you do is change a lot of the filters on it. So you want to increase the audio volume or normalize it. There's basically a few buttons you click to do it. It's a fairly in-depth piece of software, but I found that after messing around with it, I was able to very easily manage the workload that would have taken a lot longer on other pieces of software, or would have had a steeper learning curve, or would have just been just less user intuitive and more for just the pro user. This is more in the consumer slash prosumer level where you don't need to have a ton of experience and you can sort of figure it out as you go. The advantage here is it does include a lot of hardware acceleration. So what does that mean? That means that your CPU, let's say the newest Intel CPUs or newest Ryzen AMD CPUs, it allows for hardware decoding and hardware encoding. That takes off the load from your CPU cycle. So let's say you don't have that ability with software. What it'll do is use 90 or 100% of your CPU heating it up and not letting you do anything else in the computer while it's doing video editing. So what acceleration does is, let's say I'm encoding or making a copy of a video, it'll only use maybe 10% of my CPU, but be faster than if I didn't have hardware encoding. So it's just a super efficient way of utilizing your CPU and GPU. It actually lets you, I have a NVIDIA GTX 1050, not a high-end card, sort of the mid-range entry-level gaming card for the newest generation, and it lets me do 1080p gaming. What it does include is hardware encoding and decoding and the CUDA cores, they call it. So this software actually lets me use the hardware acceleration of my CPU and my graphics card at the same time, which not a lot of software, especially freeware stuff or anything else, will let you use. Now, this is paid software, but at about $100, it's a lot cheaper than using, let's say, like a Sony Vegas or a Pro Tools or something else where you're in the hundreds, if not thousands of dollars. So I'm able to, let's say I record a 25-minute video, and then I want to edit it, and I want to add some filters, and I want to do some deinterlacing and a bunch of other, you know, fancy-dancy video and audio stuff to it. If I were to not have any acceleration and I put it to maximum quality and maximum settings, max compression testing and all this sort of stuff, it might take me for that 25-minute video to export 2-3 hours. But with the acceleration on, it might take me 10 minutes. So it's and at the exact same or maybe 95% of that quality, which is kind of crazy. It's really improved the speed of doing our projects. And I believe in the future, it'll probably be something I use fairly exclusively for Twig projects when I'm doing editing the reviews and as well as doing the streaming. You know, we'll stream direct, but then there's going to be, after I've recorded a stream to the computer as well, we'll want to upload and edit video. That's going to be my editor of choice because I'm now familiar with it. And I highly recommend it to anybody who is going to be doing YouTube videos or let's say backing up their catalog of home media, and you want something that can do a lot of batch encodes. Batch encodes meaning apply the same video settings and output encoding settings to multiple files. You can do that. You can have like 100 or 200 files in your list, apply the same filters to everything, apply the same output quality to it, and then, you know, click add to batch, and it will then do them in sequence one over the other. So you can just set it up, set your computer up, and have 100 files encoding in the background. And because it uses that hardware acceleration, you can then surf the net, do all your other projects, and you're only utilizing 10 to 20% of your processing power, and you won't even feel it doing it. So that alone is fantastic and well worth the money, you know, the $100, $150 or so to get it. So I highly recommend the Pegasus Tsunami MPEG Video Mastering Work 6, and I would like to eventually check out some of their other products. They have some products that allow for a plugin to this that does commercial candidates. What that means is it analyzes your video and will tell you where you can put in commercials or ads or put breaks or chapter stops in your productions. And that's a really cool feature that it does it automatically using some, you know, crazy algorithms. And then they also have tools that allow you to author your own DVDs and put them out. So that's something we might want to look at in the future. But right now, the Video Mastering Work 6 is fantastic for the value for the price and what we're going to be using probably with a lot of our editing moving forward at Twig.
So that just about does it for the reviews this week. And we're going to try to do this more on a regular basis as things flow in. What ended up happening at the end of the year was we had so much that had come in all at once or was being withheld due to the mail that it was coming in bits and spurts. So that's why it became more of a monthly show. And then, of course, the holiday season where everybody's running around to family and doing all that. So we're going to try to keep this to more of a steady pace this year as well. This is going to be used as the primary show that I do when I do streaming as well. I'll be talking about that on here. And over the break, we didn't really take much of a break. It was more a lot of back-end stuff, figuring out formatting for this year, how we're going to change things. The plan is to do a lot more streaming with the other Twig crew members and really start to push that. You know, we're audio primarily, but the future holds video for us for sure. So we're going to try to do more games together, maybe do some more games in a community setting with you know, the fans and listeners, as well as doing reviews that... The plan will be to do reviews, audio format primarily, but we'll still capture some footage and then throw it up on YouTube individually as well, on top of what we throw in our normal shows. So it's just, you know, other ways to absorb the stuff we do and our just programming in general. So that being said, what I was doing on my end over the holiday season was I was Frankensteining my computer. I've got a decent computer. Like, I was a computer tech for years, and I built them for years, you know, as a profession. So I went and grabbed my computer, and I had fallen out of PC gaming for such a long time, and my PC was primarily used for media encoding, watching, being a media center, that sort of thing, and then I used my consoles for gaming in general. So what I did was I had to buy a video card, so I bought a GTX 1050, which is basically the entry point into doing 1080p ultra gaming now. I mean, I'm not going to do 4K on there. I have the PS4 Pro for that, and I'm not going to spend $1,000 or more upgrading my PC just to play some games that you can't even stream at that quality. Anybody that thinks they're streaming at 4K on like YouTube, it's not truly the quality that you're going to get if you were watching local or recording 4K. It's, you lose so much when you do that. So you're better off, from what I've seen, playing at 1080p and capturing at 720, because most people aren't sitting there all day watching streams at full quality on their screen. They've got it running in the background. They're doing other things. They have it up in one window. So you get the gist of it. As long as you have 720p 60 frames per second, or, you know, at best 1080 60 frames recording for streaming purposes, that's all you need. So I got a GTX 1050. I can play some basic games in there. I can do a lot more video encoding and rendering purposes with it. You know, using hardware, so it doesn't really bog down my system or use a lot of power or heat up the computer a lot. I also went and picked up a capture card that is basically a pass-through. It's two HDMI inputs go into the computer, and they're uncompressed, so it just pulls them in, and then the video card takes over and does the rendering on it. So that way I can plug in my, you know, my Switch or... the PlayStation Classic or the Commodore 64 Mini that I have, or any other console or any other HDMI-based input into the computer to capture, which is going to be fantastic, because otherwise, you know, you've got to get an expensive Elgato or something else that'll do it, and then you got to edit and cut it and all that other crap. So I just wanted something that was simple and easy to use. So far, so good. I've tested it once or twice now. I've been doing a lot of testing, set up a Twitch stream. Haven't actually got that all completed yet, but it's going to be a process of getting things through. It's not like you can just one day pick up and go. And we're not expecting, you know, millions of listeners and watchers around the world. It's more like this is going to take a while. Twig's had multiple years, over a decade now, to build up its audience. And nobody's going to transfer over immediately. So if I start recording and streaming and I only get like one listener or one viewer and maybe even none at the start, I don't care, because I've got to review this stuff anyway. I've got to play these things anyway. So for me, it's just extra content. And if it ends up being a thing that builds a community around it, that'd be great. That's all, you know, icing on the cake. So those two parts I put in the computer. I then pulled out an old webcam. I had to get a tripod because I'm going to be playing in the living room. And you don't want to have a webcam from the TV 6 feet away. You're not going to see anything. You're just going to see this big guy sitting in a table or sitting in front of a table and chair and just going do, 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 do. No, so I got a tripod with an extension cord for the webcam so that it can be up. I need to have it near my face. But in general, I might just even, you know, on days where I'm not going to record like that, I might just have a portrait or like an icon on the screen and just have audio over it. Because it's not that big of a priority for me for that. I just want to get into streaming and doing more of that. So that's some extra hardware that was gotten. And you might have noticed from the reviews that we did on this show, and then I think a few on the other Twig show last week or two, there's been some varying quality of the mics. That's simply because, it's not because anything we've changed on like their editing or like we, you know, made mistakes or anything. We've actually been trying multiple different mics. We wanted to see what we could do to upgrade the audio setup we have and make things easier to record. We used traditionally lapel mics in the last year or so. And they're good, but they pick up a lot of background noise, and you have to do a lot of modulation and editing to it to make them work. And sometimes that degrades quality, or it's just not as fun or as conducive to a good environment if you have to do a lot of processing after the fact. So I picked up a couple other ones, a USB lapel mic that was a little too much high-end on it. Then there's other condenser mics. So we've probably settled on what we're going to be using, and I'm using one of them right now. A fairly entry-level, like $20, $30 microphone that is a dynamic mic, which are usually the cheaper mics. They're the ones that podcasters don't traditionally use them. If you have a nice soundproof room, you have no noise around you or anything in a studio, you want to go with a good condenser mic because it picks up a bigger range and picks up the higher notes and everything. For our purposes and our voices and our octave levels and everything, a dynamic mic works even better because it doesn't pick up any noise from the sides. If you turn your microphone to the side, which I'm going to do right now, you can barely hear anything. And it's the same distance as it was. Now I'm turning it towards my face. It's the same distance away from your face, but it doesn't pick up anything at the sides. So that's going to help with you know, a lot of background noises. We hear like fire alarms going off, or you know, something falls or crashes, or I don't know, somebody farts, whatever it is. It's not going to pick up all of that in the sides, and it's going to make things easier. Now they connect to the computer or to your audio interface using XLR mics or quarter-inch jacks, like the old-school headphone jacks from the 70s and 80s. But I also picked up what I'm using right now, which is an XLR to USB adapter, and it seems to work just fine. You can't use those for the condenser mics because they require a lot more power. But for our purposes, this is going to be pretty good because it's a fairly easy setup that if I'm going to record at the Twig Studio, I can just pick up and take it with me. It's two cables, done, ready to go. And then if I'm recording at home, I don't need to use any of the professional XLR or quarter jacks. I can use the USB to XLR and plug it directly into the computer, and bam, I'm ready to go and record. And it sounds pretty good. I don't have to do really any audio leveling to it. Maybe a tweak to the EQ on the bass and treble, but it's not picking up, you know, any background noise or any pops or clicks or anything, which is fantastic. It makes my job a hell of a lot easier when editing and recording. So that's sort of what's been going on, and I've got the basic setup, I think, ready for the streaming and recording going forward. I know this coming weekend I'm recording this, and hopefully, if I'm all good, releasing this today on the 17th, which is today is Thursday, I believe. Oh boy, my brain is just completely fried. Yes, Thursday the 17th. I'm releasing it today. We are going to be doing, we do Twig every weekend, and it's looking like there's going to be a crazy weather storm here with a lot of ice and snow, and I'm going to be trapped, and everybody else is going to be sort of trapped. So we're going to try to record remotely. So we're going to see how this works with my mic set up the way it is, and everybody else's the way theirs is. And hopefully if everything works, then we'll roll out the new equipment to everybody. And it's going to be a really, really fun year. So what's coming up on the programming here? We've got Twig this weekend, which should come out on Monday, Friday night, depending on when we record. I think we're recording Saturday or Sunday. There, I pulled the curtain back. Yeah, we're recording, I think, maybe the same day that we release it. If not, I usually get them out on Mondays. So we've got that coming up. We've got some other review items coming in the mail soon. I should be getting, you know, fingers crossed, it says it's in the mail, the Kingdom Hearts PDP wired Xbox One and PC controller for Kingdom Hearts 3. And I think they're sending a couple other goodies in the package, so we'll find out then when it arrives. We should be getting some other games that, you know, we're sort of iffy on. It's like, yeah, we're just waiting on a code, that sort of thing. I know that Birdman is working on Ace Combat 7. That came in for review, so I sent that over to him. Mr. Christopher has a bunch of indie titles coming. There's probably more coming, larger titles coming in the future. It's just he wanted to, because he works a full-time job outside of this as well that is pretty demanding and changes schedules all the time. He wanted something to work on that was a little quicker and easier to go with. So I've been sending him indie titles, smaller titles that he can do for PC that are just a lot easier for him to record and get up there quickly. So make sure you check out Mr. Christopher's YouTube channel. And, you know, he'll pimp out his reviews on his Twitter as well. So that's what he's gotten on the go. I know Birdman has, I think, some D&D stuff. I think he's going to be recording a botched role soon. He's just percolating with the ideas that he's going to be doing. And we're going to get a We're going to have a prototype soon. I think it's going to be what we are looking forward to this year already and what we hope to hear comes out. It looks like it's going to be a good year for gaming. It's a bit of a lull right now other than Kingdom Hearts coming out as far as big, like huge titles. Especially, I didn't see a lot of exclusives on the PS4 yet, so we'll wait and see what happens there. And as far as anything review front on my end, I've been waiting on my 2DS XL had miraculously broken. Basically, you know, I opened it. It was in a protective hard shell case. Nothing had bumped around with it. I opened it, turned it on, and the screen split and cracked down the middle. I talked to our friends at Nintendo about it, and they're apparently repairing it. It's been out for repair for like 2 months, but that's a standard turnaround time for a lot of these sorts of things. So they tell me, they'll let me know when it comes back. So we should be getting some 3DS game reviews coming soon, whenever that arrives. And as far as the Switch goes, I've got a few titles that we're waiting on. I can't say what they are just yet because there's no confirmation on that yet. But there's a couple of those visual novel type games coming in that we'll be talking about. There's a few from Sega coming. There's a bunch coming that's going to be interesting. It's just we're sort of in that holding pattern waiting on what's to come. There's going to be more from Film Chest and Vinegar Syndrome, our friends there. Some more from Mill Creek. Some more movies in that end of the aspect of things. As far as music goes, there should be some records. I'm going to be getting some vinyl LPs to look at that are pretty geeky and neat. I just got to get confirmation on the tracking number and the shipping on that, but that should be coming fairly soon. One of them, if it arrives, hopefully, is the soundtrack on vinyl from Samurai Cop 1 and 1 and 2, which will be interesting. As far as TV goes, there's not much I can say yet because we're just waiting on... It's everybody's coming back from vacations. Everybody's getting things ready to ship out and getting through their backlog of emails. So there is stuff coming. We're going to have a fair bit. The idea is to have a constant flow of stuff to review. I know Birdman has a couple books coming in to review as well. And then, of course, we've got the Cambridge Chronicles that we're recording. Now, the Cambridge Chronicles had an arduous start. We've been wanting to record season 2 or get episodes recorded for it since about September. And just thing after thing after thing, whether it be health, work-related, family-related. Big one was sickness. From October to November, either one, two, or all three of us were sick with the plague, like real bad. I was down for the count for 2.5 weeks and couldn't even talk. So, you know, we've had a bit of a rocky start with it, but we did start recording, and we've got a few episodes recorded now already of it, of the Shadowrun game. We're getting ramped up. It takes a while to get back into things when you haven't recorded any gaming for basically 6 months. So the plan is to get that as the main game, main long-form game recorded. Over the next month or two, we're going to have most of it done. We want to get probably 5 or 6 episodes in the can before we start releasing them so we don't run out of content in case, you know, God forbid somebody gets sick or something happens and we can't record. So we want to have that. And then there's other games on the go. We're going to have Cyberpunk. We're going to have probably The Witcher. And I know we want to do Battletech, I think it is. And probably whatever else we get for review. So there's some stuff on the horizon there too. So it's going to be a pretty exciting year. I think we might be relaunching a couple other shows. Not quite sure just yet, but we want to get the streaming out of the out of the gate first. We want to get that, and then we want to get a bunch of other content out. So this has sort of been your update as to what's going on in Twig, because we don't always do that. I know Birdman does a pretty good job of keeping in contact with everybody on social media, and I'm not quite as good at that. I'm more in the shadows. I'll comment on things, but I'm doing basically I do a lot of the back end stuff, and then Birdman does a lot of the front end communications. He's your communications guru, master, overlord, I guess. Yes, overlord. And Mr. Christopher is, you know, a great correspondent, and he has his own thing that he does on his own as well. So we've got that, and who knows? I think we want to get some familiar faces coming back to record with us again, like Double D. That was definitely fun doing the Santa with Muscles commentary with him. It's always fun to hang out with him. So we'll try to get more people like him back, and we'll see where we go from there. So that's it for me today. I'm just not going to ramble on anymore. So I will be back, I guess, this weekend with This Week in Geek's flagship show, and we'll see what comes out next week when we get stuff in for review. All right, bye-bye, people.
Well, that's our show.
All right, here's the deal. Every time you watch my show, I will send you $40.
Checks will not be honored. You've been listening to This Week in Geek, your source for guaranteed nonsense or your money back. Tune in next week for more info on the most important things you didn't need to know. Check out our website at thisweekingeek.net and subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head over to this episode's post at thisweekingeek.net and leave a comment through Facebook Connect. Follow us on Twitter at thisweekingeek.net and follow our Instagram at twig_official_podcast. Social media not your thing? Send us an email at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
Just when you think this show is terrible, something wonderful happens.
What?
It ends.
I have to go. Somewhere there is a crime happening.
You boys like to go on inside, get yourself something to drink, wash up, fuck my wife, watch TV, anything you want. Mi casa. Mi si casa.
Oh, come on, lover, baby.
Slap. Damn, that's my shit right there.